It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the Gospel of Matthew, the book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, chapter 3. Going to begin reading with the 6th verse. And so if you'd please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, verse 6. We'll get started here in just a few moments. First of all, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to send us an email, we'd love to hear from you, parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open up your Bibles and prepare for the study. Matthew chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 6. "And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid upon the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." What a scripture verse to read. Let's begin with a word of prayer before we start the study. Father, I thank and praise you that we can come today and enjoy your precious word. It's just such a wonderful opportunity, and we should never neglect the studying of your word, the reading of your word, and the coming together and not forsaking the assembly. It is so important that we come into your house, come together to study the Word of God, to hear the Word of God, to hear that precious gospel spoken, the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Oh, it's so wonderful to hear those words and to come together. And so, please, dear Father, just guide and lead us now as we study and touch the heart of each and every individual. If there's folks that are listening that do not know you as their Savior, that today they come, that don't be religious as some of these folks we're going to talk about today, but truly, truly, we need them to be believers. And so convict the hearts today, Father, and give us a wonderful study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we kind of started midstream there a little bit, we've talked about John the Baptist and the preaching that he got, and I'll just read down through the first 5 verses. It kind of gets us started there. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judah, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leather girdle about his loins. His meat was locusts and wild honey. And then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." Large crowds came out to hear John the Baptist, to preach, and multitudes of them were baptized. Just a little bit of history here to kind of help us understand some things. If you were a Gentile and you wanted to serve Jehovah, you would have to become a proselyte. And that's a Gentile that's converted to the Jewish ways, the Jewish religion. They call them proselytes. And there were three things that were required of the men if you became a Jew or a proselyte. And so you have converted to Judaism so that because you want to praise the Lord and you want to serve Jehovah God, and that was the only way at the time. There was no other way. That was the right way. And they call them the rites, R-I-T-E-S. And men, they were required to be circumcised. They were required to follow in baptism, and that baptism was in complete immersion. And then another term was used, an oblation. And the women, of course, was the two, baptism and oblation. Again, as I have already mentioned, the word baptism there is very clearly in the Jewish way, and they were taught to baptize. It was a cleansing. The whole person was placed under water, as should be today. And then while they were still standing, as they would come up out of the water, they would be taught, instructed, certain sections, certain portions of the law, right then and there. They were told certain sections of the law. And so that's what was the three things that was required in order for a Gentile to become a proselyte or a Jew. And also it wasn't just the head of the family, or it wasn't just the husband and the wife, but the entire family. Because with the Jews, and it should be the same today in the church, but however, the family situation is such a mess today, and also the men of the families today do not take on the responsibility to teach their children and their families the Word of God. You should be the first one, if you're the husband, you should be the first one to say, we're going to church today. You don't ask your wife, you don't ask your children, you tell them with love, we're going to church today because we need to learn about Jesus. And so you come, and you may have to search out a good Bible-believing, soul-winning church, because there's many liberal churches out there that do not teach the Word of God. And so you need to find a good church, but you come to listen to the Word of God. And when you hear the Word of God spoken, the Holy Spirit will convict your heart of your sin, and you need to confess and come by faith, confess your sin and come by faith to Jesus. Please that you call on Him today. But men, you take that responsibility. Take that, that's a dire need, and it's so sad today. That in most cases, if anyone brings the children to church, it's the mothers or the grandmothers, many cases. But the father does not take his responsibility as he should. And so here, as the father and then the mother and then the entire family would follow in baptism and listening to this instruction that was there. That way everybody be on the same page. Everybody knew what was to be done. John's baptism, as we talked here, as we come down to the sixth verse, and we're baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sin. And so John's baptism resembled these proselytes as they were baptized, but only in the outer way. John's baptism is much more important, much more powerful. John's baptism was of heaven, as the Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 21, verses 25 through 27. Matthew chapter 21, verse 25. I do that often. I went to chapter 25. Matthew chapter 21, verse 25 through 27, the baptism of John hence was, let me back up to 23 even. And when they come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, this was Jesus, and said, by what authority hast thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I in like wise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? Well, they thought about it. You see, there's a problem here because of who they were talking to. They reasoned themselves with themselves, saying, if ye shall say, from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? But if ye say, of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said to them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things, by heaven. They weren't willing to make that choice or decision, were they? That's exactly the condition of the mankind today. Nobody makes a stand for the Lord Jesus. Nobody makes a stand for the truth. And we need to do that and do that with a firm foundation, the foundation of the gospel that is with us. Those that came to John the Baptist came to be baptized, and they were told they come to in confessing their sins. And so not only were they baptized, but also came confessing their sins. Now let's look at what that means, to confess their sins. The Greek word means stronger than just to speak them. It means more than showing just a contrite spirit or contrite heart, but rather that in confessing their sins, these people also confess themselves as sinners. So it was a stronger statement. Confess themselves as sinners. Something else here. This was not done privately, just to John the Baptist. It was done before the people. Confess their sins. What a humbling experience that would be. And so it showed their true heart. Without question, John was preparing the way for the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, without question. John's baptism, John baptized unto repentance, as the scripture says, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. It was unto repentance, and by that repent ye, back in verse 2, very clearly, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Where do we think this came from? It came from heaven. This word repentance here means a change of mind. And the only way you can have a change of mind, if you have a change of heart, you must come by faith to the Lord Jesus and trust in him and serve him and praise him and have a change of heart. Now we come to verse 7. Because there were some folks that come to these meetings that John was having, proclaiming the word of God, telling people to repent and turn to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because Jesus was going to be on the scene here. We'll get up to that 13th verse. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him, to testify that I am the Savior of the world. And so we're very close here for him to come onto the scene. And here's John preaching the coming of this of the Messiah. And there was a group that had come that wasn't real welcome. But they came because the crowd came. And these Pharisees, they got their name from parish, P-A-R-A-S-H, meaning the separated. they became organized really about 160 or about 160 years before that. It was BC 159 is when they have kind of established the date of their starting, their coming about. They followed the letter of the law as well as the oral doctrine and traditions of their fathers. That's what the Pharisees did. They had a very great power, and that power was over the people. They had great influence, would be a word to say. And it's believed, and I've read, that when Herod the Great died, there was about 6,000 of these Pharisees in the area of Palestine. They held a very great opposition when it came to the Lord Jesus, to anyone that preached the Lord Jesus. Here are some very important people, should have known the Word of God, and yet they chose to follow the tradition of man, and they got stuck on that law instead of having the freedom and grace and the joy that Jesus hands to them. They were caught up in the bondage of the law and tradition, and they would not move off of that. And so they did hold a great struggle fought against the Lord Jesus. They honored God and His law in an outward way only. But inwardly they were filled with great iniquity. They were hypocrites. There was a lot of hypocrisy that went on within that group. We have a few, very few, but we have a few that were respectable to the point that they would come and inquire of the Lord Jesus what this is all about. And we know, or you've probably already figured out, the one I'm going to tell you about, and that's Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, but he came to Jesus by night, according to John chapter 3. He came to Jesus by night, and he wanted some instruction. I know you're a teacher sent from God. Jesus told him, you must be born again. How many times is words spoken and people come and they try to figure it out? And so you come with a question to me, and then I study, and I give you an answer, when the whole time the answer is Jesus. That's the answer. Well, I don't understand this. The answer is Jesus. As we close every program out, that question's right there. What are you going to do about Jesus? That's the question. He is there. He's died on the cross to save you. He has finished the work. We're just getting ready to introduce him to the world here in Matthew. But we know that he's finished that work. We know the rest of the story. So please, that you would come by faith to Jesus today and trust in him. Walk with him. Don't miss the Lord Jesus. Nicodemus didn't, but a multitude of this 6,000 that we talked about that was present, there's a multitude of them that did. They missed it. And when they died, they woke up in the place of torment, awaiting their eternal home, the lake of fire. God requires a humble and a contrite heart. Nicodemus came with that. He came searching, and Nicodemus found. What a wonderful story. What a joy. We have another group here in that seventh verse. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism. Sadducees. They don't believe in the resurrection. Matter of fact, they don't believe in life after death. And so they're sad, you see. It's easy to remember which group doesn't believe in the resurrection. and that would be the Sadducees. About B.C. 323 is about their starting point, according to history. Sadok, S-A-D-O-K, is where that name came from. And they rejected all tradition, but they also then added to the Old Testament. They denied the resurrection of the dead. They deny life after death. They were very, very worldly. They were very great in number. And without question, they opposed all the teaching of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus. Opposed him both the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Both persecuted the early church. It's been said that the Pharisees was a hypocritical superstition. The Sadducees were just carnal unbelief. They came to the baptism. Why did they come to the baptism? They came to the baptism because they were following the crowd. They wanted the crowd to follow them. But all of a sudden now there was someone else came upon the scene, and this was John the Baptist, and so they had to come and see what was going on. What's the big ruckus about? What's the big collection of people here, the big crowd? What's this all about? So they come to see. Well, undoubtedly someone must have come also to follow in baptism. And again, stop and think about it. The Jews, they were used to baptism. They were used to this immersion. This wasn't something new. Yeah, I'll be washed again. I don't care. And so it was something that wasn't strange to them. But the problem was that they did not catch the first part, confessing their sin. Repent ye, as again number 2 tells us. And so the Sadducees and the Pharisees were a group that was just a literal thorn in the flesh with Paul and to Paul and Peter and to the Lord Jesus Christ, as these have been proclaimers of the Word of God for the Lord Jesus, and Jesus himself fought these people and should not have had to. They were the religious people, but we do the same thing today. We fight the religious people. And why is there a battle going on with the religious people? It's because they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. They have rejected the gospel. They have turned their back on the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They do not preach it. They do not believe it's necessary. They believe either in universal salvation, or as long as you're a part of our little group here, then you're saved. Well, you can be a part of Parkview Bible Church. You can even come and have confessed your sin and said, I believe Jesus died for my sins, and I've asked him to come into my heart, and even followed in baptism. And you can still be just deader than a doornail, because you can fool me. You can fool anybody here, but you can't fool God. And so just because you're a member here, that doesn't mean that you're born again. That doesn't mean that you're saved. Come and listen. Listen to the Word of God. What John was saying here, as we read verse 7, when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he wasn't very kind to them, because they're evil and wicked, and we need to do the same today. He said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, to bring therefore fruits meet for repentance? Where have you come? What's the deal here? Let's go back just to one book, back to the last book of the Old Testament, and that would be to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek, and suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. They should have been ready. They should have known what was coming. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. They should have known those scripture verses. You see, Jesus came as a lamb to the slaughter. And he came and was crucified, was spit upon, and he came and was crucified and buried and rose again. He came as a meek, as a lamb. There's going to be a time that he's going to come as a lion. And that's what he's telling, Malachi is saying here, because God knew that the Jews were going to miss it, was going to look the other way and not come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, gave him some mean talk, didn't he? Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? The question was, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. If you're going to come and you want to be baptized, then you show me the fruit. You show me that you're truly saved. You know, a lot of people, they, as soon as they confess that they're saved, then they're baptized immediately. I prefer to wait. You see, baptism isn't a requirement for salvation. It's a testimony of what's taken place in your heart. But has it truly taken place in your heart? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there evidence there? And I'm not the judge, but we sure can be fruit inspectors. And if we don't see a change in your life, there's something wrong down there. Now, you may be going through an awful battle, and the outside evidence may not be much different, but you're gonna know, and the people are going to know that there's a battle going on in your life, because all of a sudden, you've got the Holy Spirit living within your heart. And also that old devil, he doesn't like that he's gotten kicked off that throne, and he's a-kicking and a-screaming all his way down. But there's evidence there. There's evidence that there's a battle going on. There's evidence that things are changing in your life. Bring forth, therefore, fruits for repentance. Because you see, the thing that they claimed on to be, and we'll just touch that and then we'll probably close with this verse. It says, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. We have Abraham as our father. You see, that was everything to them. We don't have to worry about a thing. We're the direct descendants of Abraham. He's the father of our faith. He's everything. Well, we take care of that right here. Because John says, we have Abraham to our father. That's what you're saying, the Pharisees and Sadducees. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones. There must have been some stones right there. He said, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. How important are you? If I can change those rocks and raise up children from Abraham, and God's capable of doing that. And that's John the Baptist is making this very, very clear here. And so we need to understand that there is an opportunity to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And that opportunity is right now. If the Spirit of God is convicting your heart through this word of John the Baptist, that call to repentance, that call to change your mind, to turn about face and go the other direction, because that's what happens when you get your heart changed. And so please, please come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ today and be born again. Now, John's just proclaiming his coming, and if you'll notice there in verse 13, if we said, then cometh Jesus. And so he's right on the scene. He's coming. He's going to come again. You better be ready. I don't know whether you're going to have to face death or you're going to have to get to face the rapture of the church, and you'll be left behind. I don't know which one it's going to be, but you don't have to have either, because you need Jesus. And so the concern is always, my friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?